It's great to come together, isn't it, to praise and worship our wonderful God. And we heard a very powerful word this morning, and I just pray that that word becomes hidden in your heart. But we're not to hide it, that it stays hidden. We're to live that word. We're to really start to expound that word within our lives. And we don't have, you know, we always say God is amazing. We shouldn't say that. We should expect to know that God is amazing. Because when Pastor Steve got up and started to speak yesterday, sorry, we just go back a little bit, because he had this virus, he'd rung up and said that he would do the morning service and not the evening service. And so Pastor Chris rang and asked if I would speak tonight, and I'm always pleased to do that. I love to bring the Word of God. And we were having Pastor Steve for lunch. And so I sat yesterday afternoon and really prayed to God what I would bring. And when Pastor Steve started to speak this morning, I was just blown away, because God had laid on my heart to speak about God's faithfulness, that He is a faithful God and that we can trust Him. And we heard so much of that today through Pastor Steve. And so I shared with him over lunch, and he said, that is awesome when God does that and we can just build, because the Word of God is like that. It's like building blocks. We're to keep building line upon line, precept upon precept, that we grow into the fullness of our loving God. And so we praise Him for that. And so our God is a God that we can trust. We all want to be able to trust, don't we? We see we live in a world today where there is so much falsity and lack of trust. And even in our government, sadly, things are said and they're not followed through. And some people are finding it very hard to know where to go and how to trust. Even we see on our televisions now, so many people have invested money in companies that they felt that they could trust, even superannuations, and they're just falling away. And so people are finding their lives in tatters, and then they become despondent and they find it very hard to trust. But you see, we are a privileged people, a royal priesthood, because we have a God in whom we can trust. God's word is His word, and His word is powerful. And as we were sharing today with Pastor Stephen, saying that often we can read the word and we know the word to a point, but we don't understand, as I've said many times, the principles and the precepts of the word of God. We need to understand our God and know that He is living and working in us through the wonderful death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit brings that reality to us. And it says in Exodus 34:6, it's just when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the Lord Himself, it says, and He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Faithfulness. He's a faithful God. He can be trusted. And then in Deuteronomy 7:9, I just want to give you these scriptures to build on. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Now therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." Thousands of generations. And God continues, because God cannot change. And then finally in Isaiah 49:7, He says, "This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who is despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you rise up, princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Do you know tonight that God chose you? He called you, as we heard this morning, before we were yet formed. He called us and He knew us. And to me, that's very, very powerful. When I was saved many, many years ago, the scripture that was read was from Isaiah 43:1-3, and it says, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you." God had already called me to be His own. "I have summoned you by name, you are mine, and when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And that night I surrendered my life to a God that I didn't understand, that I knew nothing about, other than this awesome presence of love that I had never experienced in my life. In fact, I was thinking of death. And so it wasn't just spiritual life, it was physical life. It was life total. And this awesome love came around me and filled me with this awesome wonder. And then I was hungry to learn and to know about this awesome God that said he knew my name. And I just found out that I had been born illegitimate and I didn't know who my father was. So I didn't even have a name that was legally mine. And here this God was saying more than that, that he knew the very depth of me because he created and formed me in my mother's womb. Even though my mother didn't want me, she was full of fear and was seeking abortion. And you know, it didn't take very long after that as I started to grow in God to see his faithfulness, to see that he had planned. My life was threatened three times, really threatened to be taken. And each time, God rescued me. He didn't just come in and rescue me from a situation. He already had a plan that I would be here standing tonight. He already knew the generations that would come through me and my husband. He already knew the plans. And I stand and bear testimony tonight that I still see in God not just what we have, but what is to come. There is more, there is more. And I want you to know tonight that God is faithful and God speaks to us. If you don't hear God, it's because you're not listening. You're not turning your ear to him. You're not, as we heard, opening the word and knowing this God. It is one thing to say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'm saved by grace. But do you know the one who called you? Do you know the one who loved you? Do you know the one who draws you to him with loving kindness? Do you know all about him? Because I want to know all about him. And I've walked with God now for 55 years. And I still don't know all. But I know more than I did then. But nothing excites me more than that night when I stood as a frightened young girl, a teenager, in a great big area. And didn't matter that people didn't come around me. I was surrounded by this awesome love that I had never experienced and that has never left me. And then I've sought to find out more about this God of grace. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Has God spoken to you? Be sure tonight that he will do what he has said. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And that was one of the early scriptures that I learned, that he was faithful. And so as he told me, he would be with me. And you see, when I got saved and then a little while later married John, I just thought I had everything. And I did. But I had to learn how to process that and how to know about that and how to trust that. But you see, in my innocence, I thought, well, I have this great God who loves me. I have this man, I have a name that's legally mine, and so life's going to be happily ever after. But I forgot about the scriptures that said about walking through the water and through the fires. And I can testify tonight that there have been those. But I can stand here tonight and praise God. Not only have the waters not overcome me, but the fire has not even scorched me. Not even scorched me. And sometimes those fires have been very, very deep. And very, very burning. And it's almost like, you know, when you're near a fire and you sort of cover yourself. But you see, the Lord himself covers us from that fire. He covers us that we will not feel the pressure of the flame. We will not feel the pressure of the heat. I just want to bring a testimony here that is very, very powerful. Many years ago, the Lord laid on my heart. Well, John and I had a heart for broken women and needy children, and we took many into our home. But then quite a few years ago, the Lord led me into broken women, women that were living in violent situations. And so, just briefly, we started a home in the local area, and it was called Turning Point. And it was women to turn their lives around. And many, many women over the nearly 7 years that I ran it came through that home. And we didn't want to be connected to the government, because we didn't just want bottoms in beds and looking at statistics. We wanted to see women's lives turned around. And many of those women and children found Christ, found the love of God. But anyway, after we'd been operating, and many nights I would sleep there and stay, and Kayleen would take the children if the mothers needed a break. And after we'd been going about 4.5 years, one afternoon I received a phone call, and it was Bruce Lawton. He said, "Pat, I think you better come. I think Turning Point's on fire." And I said, "Oh, no." So off I got in the car and went around there, and there were fire cars everywhere, and this house was all ablaze. And of course I said, "Is anyone in there?" And they said, "Oh, we don't know, it's too hot to go in." And I just pushed through, and I ran into the house praying, because I believed that there was a young girl that would be in there. And you know, I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel a thing. And my husband would tell you, the firemen were amazed. I was not overcome with smoke, and I didn't feel anything. And I found this young girl huddled down the back of the house, and was able to bring her out. But the thing is that in the middle of that house, right in the centre, was a devotional room where I would pray and minister to these girls. And as I would pray and minister, the Lord would keep reassuring me that this was protected. And do you know, and I can show you, I have a paper, that even the fire brigade were amazed. The kitchen was completely gutted. The laundry was completely gutted. And do you know, we opened the door into that room and there was not a scorch. There wasn't even a smell of smoke in that room. That God had set that apart and said, things can happen and you can try to destroy. You may kindle, but you will never destroy. And so obviously that work went on. But you see, sometimes our minds can tell us it's foolishness to believe the things of God, because the things of God don't always seem to make sense. When we look at it through our mind and our ordinary strength, it can seem as if that just sounds too fantastic. But God is fantastic. God is awesome. He's an amazing God. And we should never be surprised. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. He is a faithful God. He's the Lord who is faithful. The one who calls us is faithful. He who promised is faithful. The ever faithful God. And so it goes on. And so there are many things that we can see in the Word of God that tell us about this faithful God. And as I said, we think about our life today, and even sadly we know that young couples come together and they get married and they make these commitments, and it's only a few years and that trust is broken and marriages break. We see mothers or girls so distraught because someone has failed them, and so they line up at abortion clinics. And so we see a world that needs hope. We see a world that needs to know a God who is faithful. And as we heard, we need to be revealing. We sang tonight about revealing the love of God. We need to be displaying that. Now, further on from my testimony of speaking about the faithfulness of God and how awesome God brings things together, Eula came in this morning and she was so excited. She couldn't wait to see me because she had something to share with me. So I've asked her to come up tonight and share that with us. Thank you, Eula.
I decided to do something I hate doing, is sorting out papers and receipts over many years, but it had to be done. To my amazement, last night I thought, no, I've got to finish it. This last night, you know. Anyway, got to the bottom, I found this letter. I thought, oh, my God, 87. I was going through a very difficult time in my life, and I'm crying out to God, please, God, please, please, it's only you. It's only you can do a miracle in, you know, I'm sad. I'm so sad within me. Give me that joy where I can give joy to the people. It's only you can give me that joy. And I'm crying out to the Lord, you know. And I read, and I was amazed. This was in September, 87. And then the next, I looked and I thought, oh, this is January 88. What did I write here? And to my amazement, I wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and I had this dream. And I was sort of like, I couldn't believe why. I was shaken. I made a cup of tea. I thought, I've got to remember the dream. I've got to remember the dream. It had to be something. Anyway, the dream came and I got a pen. I'm writing it down, you know. And the dream, it was that actually it was a prophecy that God gave me, and it came to pass this couple of years. And almost to the day, today, when I came, I thought, when Stephen was saying how God, 22 years, it was exactly 22 years that it, in my dream, which I've written down, my sister Tula, and would have been the last person I would have thought to come to the Lord, you know, of all my sisters, there's five of us. And the dream it was that this road that I remembered became a big river and was gushing down, and I was, oh, I can't believe this was a road. How can it be a river? And I'm looking at it, to my amazement. And then who do I look? My sister, she's walking on the water, and she was like an acrobat, but she's actually walking, because I read it again lunchtime. She was walking on the water. I said, Lord, that is amazing. That is amazing. And God is amazing, because God is faithful. Even when it takes so many years to come to pass, it will pass, because God is faithful. So I look at how God helped us right through caring for Mum. And the last person I would have thought that would give her heart to the Lord, honestly, it would have been my sister, would have been the one she did, Tula, would have been the last one. But God had chosen her to be the first one of all my brothers and sisters. So God is faithful. And, you know, even if it takes so many years, we need to believe and hold on to his promise, because God is faithful.
And that had to be now. And you see, when God does speak to you, whether it's through somebody else or whether God gives you a rhema word, a word that just leaps out at you, write it down. I used to get up in the middle of the night and write things down. Now I scoot into the computer and type it in. It's quicker, and I know it's there, and I usually back up what's on the computer so I don't lose it. But we need to write it down and then go back and revisit that. And that scripture I read that when I was saved, I've gone back and visited that many times, and God has continued to open up more understanding of that word. And like Eula said, there are other things Eula shared with me that are personal, but there were three things, and she's now seeing those fulfilled. But you see, there's more. There's more. There's more depth. And so how many people, let me ask you, how many people do you know who, no matter what the circumstances and no matter how they feel, will always do exactly what they say every single time and do it with such thoughtfulness and perfection that you never have to worry about anything they say, because you know if they say it, they will definitely do it without fail, without change, and without excuse. Anybody know anyone like that? Because I don't. There's no person that exists. Because even though we can make promises and we can try to keep up, there are many things we can complete, but to go through and become so perfect like that, we can't. It is only God our Father that will do that. He is the only one that can put the full stop after a sentence and know it is done. And it's not it's happening in the future. He already sees the future. He already sees our past, he sees our present, and he sees our future. And he knows exactly what is going to happen and how. And so we need to be looking to him and not to this world for answers. Because if we look outside, will become disillusioned. It says in Numbers that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No, he's the only true God. And you see, he is the most wonderful confidant. There are many things I've hidden in him, many secrets I've shared with him, many burdens I've laid upon him, many hopes I've entrusted to him, many promises I've sought him for. And there are times my husband and I have been married 52 years and we have a wonderful relationship. We love one another. We trust one another. But there are times there are things that we can't even share with our nearest and dearest, but we can share with him. Because he doesn't laugh at us. He doesn't say that's an impossibility. He encourages us that that is possible. If it's not part of his will, he gently turns us around and shows us, no, that is not my will. And you know, there are things that I've hidden in God that I couldn't share with people, that God has shown me with our generations. Things that if you share with people, they think, oh, you think you're something, or that's not possible. But I know that I know. Not because of them, not because of me, but because of him. And we're all the same. We need to believe that God can do it, or is doing, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his power within us. And he's doing that not in the future. He's doing that now. He's doing that now. Every word he says is true. And I just want to quickly say to you that in the Bible, in Hebrews, the word, the Hebrew word for amen is emet, which simply means stability, firmness, or certainty. And so don't say amen lightly. I hear people say amen, and it just sounds good to say. Maybe they don't believe it. But you see, the same as God is faithful, he holds us accountable. If you say amen, it means you're saying, yes, I believe with certainty. Amen says, yes, I believe with certainty. And I believe him with certainty. Certainty, because he is faithful. He is faithful to all he said. In Genesis 22, there's an account, and I just want to go through this quickly, but I'm going to take this up another time, because I just love this encounter. They're not stories, they're encounters, real encounters. And it's the encounter of Abraham. And God had promised Abraham and shown him that he would be the father of many nations. And here was Abraham married to Sarah, and here they were elderly. It was impossible, totally impossible. So don't ever believe anything's impossible. And then God brought through them, through Sarah, a son, Isaac. So you can imagine how much they loved him. And they saw and knew in God he was the child of promise. He was going to be fulfillment of everything God had promised. And then in Genesis, we see in 22, that God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, now when God says your name, you'd better pay attention, because God doesn't say your name for nothing. Do you know, we have pet names for one another, but when my husband says Pat, I look up and pay attention. It's like he's serious. He means something. And God said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Then the Lord simply said to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Now, God is a God of detail. He didn't just say Isaac. He said, Isaac, the son, your only son, whom you love, and go into the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I will tell you about it. No detail. Now, you see, the word tells us that Abraham got up early the next morning and prepared himself to go with his son. Now, Abraham wasn't a puppet. God doesn't expect us to do. But Abraham had this relationship that I'm talking about. He had this trust in a faithful God. Now, from now on, this is me talking. not the Bible, but this is what I understand. God taught me many, many years ago to verbalise the word, to memorise the word, but to visualise the word. And when I read the word of God, I see the people there just like you and me. And you see, we need to understand that they were real people with the same hopes and dreams and failings that we have. Otherwise, we can look and say, well, that was easy for them. That was Abraham. And how many people do you hear say that? They say, oh, well, it was easy. That was Abraham. No, it wasn't easy. Abraham was like us. He loved his son. God had given him this son. He was the promise. So I believe that it doesn't tell us there that he shared it with Sarah, and I don't believe he did, because being a woman, I know she would have said, and before we know that Sarah had tried to turn things away from God's plan, hadn't she? And so I believe she would have said, oh, no, no, don't do that. So I believe it was a long night for Abraham, and he waited on God, and he knew that that's what God said. So he got his trusted servants and his son, and off he went. But this is what I believe, knowing myself. I believe that Abraham questioned God in the sense, is that what I heard? And I believe that that was confirmed. And then I believe that Abraham would have spoken God's word back to him. He wouldn't have argued and said, but God, like we do when we get into trouble or God asks us something. He would have said, God, you said, and your word is truth. You said I would be the father of many nations. You showed me the stars in the sky, that they would outnumber that. You showed me a vision of the sands and the grains of sand. You will do this thing. And I believe that Abraham set off in total trust. He didn't know how God would work this out, how he would do it. Maybe he thought that if he took his son's life, God would raise him. I don't know what he thought, but he had complete trust, because he had relationship with his faithful God. Do you have that relationship? Are there things God asks you to sacrifice that you hold on to so dearly? And it can even be our relationships. Not that God is asking us to literally kill them, but he's asking us to emotionally separate from them. You know, it's possible to love someone more than we love God. We can deceive ourselves and think, oh no, I love you, God. But we really are emotionally so caught up with our families that if God says go, are you ready to go? Are you ready to leave? Are you ready to do what God calls you to do? And so we see that as Abraham set out to the place that God had told him, and on the third day he looked up and he saw the place, and he said, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and when we come back to you, you see that? We come back to you. That's how much he believed in God, that God would make a way. So his confession was already there, that God would make a way. And even as his son said to him, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went together. And then we know that Abraham wasn't messing around. He actually had the knife. He had the knife in his hand and risen. And the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. And then he saw the lamb caught in the thicket. Is your faith such that you believe this awesome God? That when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. When you walk through the water, it will not overflow you. Do you believe in the promises of God that says that he has a plan for you and a purpose? That you will be the father and mother of many? That you will raise your children and your grandchildren? The word of God said to me many years ago that it was about honour, to honour your father and mother. And this is a scripture with a promise that if you honour them, all will go well with you. And I struggled with that because I was looking for something to honour and there was nothing to honour that I could see. I didn't know who my father was and I couldn't see anything. I could forgive my mother, but I found it hard to honour her. But I came to that place of saying, well, Lord, if that's what your word tells me, when it's so full of precious promises and my life is totally in your hands, I can do this thing. And I didn't just honour my mother out of my mouth. It was an awesome experience. I yielded myself face down on the floor and allowed God to do business with me. And I rose up honouring my mother. Not just because she was my mother and gave birth to me, but because I realised God chose her to bring me forth into this world. And yet those things can seem foolish, but God chose her. And I praise God I can stand today and say that because of that many other things, all goes well with me. And I'm seeing my generations rising up and rising up in Him. And so we can't see God's faithfulness in one thing and deny another. Sometimes we can say, well, yes, Lord, I can trust you for this, but this is too hard. If you want it all to go well with you, if you want to be in that awesome place, like Eula, of finding something and saying, but God, you did it, and He's continuing to do it, then we need to know His principle. We need to follow His word, line upon line, precept upon precept. We need to see that every word He says is true, that He's faithful, and every promise He will keep. It's a powerful statement that God is able. He doesn't do things too quickly. He doesn't do things always without a struggle to us. And sometimes there's a failure along the way that we feel, but God turns that into triumph. But what God says, He has promised and He will do. Faith is a gift, but even a gift must be opened and enjoyed. A gift must be trusted. As we exercise our faith, we begin to discover more and more about God's purpose for our lives, and to know that even in the trials, He knows about those things. And often we look at trials and difficulties and we think they're thrown at us by somebody else, but God is taking us along that path. It was not the devil that called Abraham to sacrifice his son. It was not the devil that led Jesus into the wilderness. It was God Himself. And if you believe in God and you believe His promises, you believe that you're His son or daughter, then know that He is the one who is leading and guiding you every step of the way. Every word He says true, every promise He will keep, and every trial has a purpose. Just finally, for many years I thought, like many people, that if I held God's hand, I would be safe. And then one day God said to me, it's not that you hold my hand, Pat, it's that I'm holding yours. Because you see, even though I might want, I will let go, I'll become distracted. But God never does. And as we heard this morning, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Do you know the Lord delights over you? Though he fall, he will fall. Though he fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds you. And so when the Lord is holding my hand, yes, I'll trip, but He will stabilise me. If I'm holding His hand, I will let go of the grip. So remember, a faithful God holds your hand, not only your hand, but your heart, and He will keep it until that day He calls you to be with Himself and says, come into my presence, my servant, that you might share in my glory. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is loving and kind and gentle and draws us to you, Lord God. And that as we wait upon you, as we center on you, you will speak words to us, words of love, words of intimacy, but also words of correction. And Lord, we want to hear those words from you. We don't want to fall and see our lives smashed and messed. We want to hear you say, not that way, this way. This is the way that I've chosen for you. This is the way I've prepared for you. Walk in it. So Lord, we just pray that we would be people who would hunger after you, that we would thirst after you like the deer pants for the water, and that as we do, we will be found of you, because you are longing for us to have that intimate relationship and to trust in your faithful love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, Lord.